Welcome to Venture Bros, Venture Bros Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Graham Princess Tingle Pants Mason.
What?
Tinkle Pants. That's me.
I'm looking through a list of like the characters that I forgot for sure, and I'm like, oh yeah, here's some great ones in here. Like people I just totally forgot about.
When were they in?
Tinkle Pants.
What episode
were
they
in? It sounds like a Venture Brothers character.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not denying that.
I mean, I'm not going to dispute it doesn't sound like one, but what episode was that in?
I have no idea. I'm looking at a list of characters, so that was one of them. Has an actor attached to it and everything.
All right.
It was Lisa Hammer. It's the same girl who does Triana.
Yeah.
She did Princess Tinkle Pants.
Oh. Triana.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about Triana in a long time.
Yeah. We also have Matt Catclops Dykes.
I see, now that one I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went a little bit more mainstream for Matt. Slightly. I mean, he hasn't been around in a long-ass time, but...
But it's Catclops.
I mean, he's only in two as well. My favorite bit with Catclops... My favorite bit with Catclops is where Brock pulls out the whiskers of his eye. And it's just like...
Do you know how much that hurts?
I fucking love Catclops. Very, very happy they knew when to stop using him. But
yeah,
but he was very enjoyable.
That last episode was plenty.
Yeah, yeah. There can be too much Catclops.
The cat is in my coffee.
That's some good arching right there.
Oh yeah. Oh boy, so here we are, we're in our second to last recording session of Venture Bros, the Venture Brothers podcast, which is it's very sad because we do two episodes at a time, if you haven't caught on to our very, very well hidden jokes.
Yes.
Throughout the series. So we have four episodes left, so I mean, I guess that could mean three more recording sessions, because we are gonna do like a wrap up of the show.
Yeah.
As it stands, that might
be
one
like
more.
A 2-hour finale.
Yeah, it might be like 45 minutes. Just a hair longer than our normal episode.
Which means 2 hours. It'll take 2 hours to record.
And then be like a 45-minute episode. Yeah.
So you're both
the
right.
Listeners demand 2 hours.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Or we could do it uncut.
Never.
Could do it live.
Release that to the world. That awfulness.
The fact that podcasts do that just blows my mind. Like, how confident are you? Like... No way. Everything gets edited. And every now and then there'll be a noticeable edit. But if you notice it, realize that was better than what you would have heard.
Right.
That's what really matters.
Let's say fucking do it live. How about that?
Do it live!
I remember listening through to one of them once before. And it was like, I think it was at the beginning. It was one of the beginning bits. And I remember just sat there like thinking, hang on a minute, there's like 10 minutes cut out of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not sure if the mic's picking it up, but my son is very, very upset that I'm no longer playing with him and recording a podcast, and he's letting the whole world know. So I apologize if there is a screaming child behind us, and I feel like a really bad dad. But he's gonna go have a lot of
feel
fun.
Like a real rusty, yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little more Jonas Venture Senior today.
Oh boy,
bloody hell!
That's all on me.
That's more of just the ignoring.
Yeah, exactly.
Than anything else. Yeah.
I'm doing my own thing and ignoring my crying child.
Yeah.
It's very Jonas Venture Senior of me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not my proudest moment. But you
at least
know.
You're not cloning him.
Yeah. At least up. Well.
Yet.
Yeah. He could be accident prone. Okay.
Maybe
so we're
really
here today to talk
boobies.
About what is this one called? The unicorn.
In captivity.
In captivity. I wanted to say unicorn in the mist.
I mean, sure.
Gorillas in the Mist? Is that what that's from?
No idea what you're talking
about. I mean, there is a film called Gorillas in the Mist. I've never seen
there.
It.
There. That's why that name is in my head for some strange reason. So before we get too far into the episode, as we have not even set a foot in it, we're going to let Graham do the world's best breakdown. He has been so confident about this one because we kind of forgot to remind Brock about notes. So we don't really have any notes for him to go off of. So that's...
What the F, Brock?
We're in some pure, unfiltered Graham. And by unfiltered, I mean it's definitely going to be edited.
Yes.
No matter what you're about to hear.
Yes.
Realize it's shorter occasions. Than what happened when Matt and I had to listen to it.
This is going to be one of the occasions where I'm going to listen back and I'm like, there's 10 minutes cut out here.
I mean, I've been going shorter and shorter and just be like, you know what? We'll fill in. It's fine. They do a thing happens, and then, you know, the rest of the episode is...
Yeah, I'm fine with that. That is a totally fine thing. We don't need to ever recreate your Attack of the Clones breakdown from After the Hype.
Listen, thorough.
18 minutes.
Thorough.
18 minutes. I cut it down to 2. I cut out 16 minutes of nonsense.
By the time that I was finished with the breakdown, no one ever needed to or wanted to ever see that movie.
Let's face it. If George Lucas would have cut out, 16 minutes of nonsense from that, it would have been a slightly better film, I imagine.
Maybe. I actually don't mind Attack of the Clones.
Yeah,
but that's a different podcast. Really?
Or he could have just, cut to me just describing what's happening.
That would have been way better.
If I could just hold a lightsaber while I'm talking about it and giving the breakdown. All right,
we'll do the breakdown. I'll do the lightsaber noises. Womp, womp. Womp.
All right. So,
womp, womp.
Unicorn in captivity.
Womp, womp, womp.
We open on womp. Rusty, Pete, and Billy. And they've done a thing.
Womp, womp.
Rusty Venture has successfully done a thing, finally, in his life. And he completed a teleportation device. Of course, this gets the attention of OSI. And they come in and kind of intercede. They tell him to stop, that he has to stop, and they introduce him into the dark society of runs the world. Anyways, he gets into this not Vanilla Sky. What's the other?
Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Womp womp.
Esque.
Look, they're both Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah, you know what I was going for.
Yeah.
And this party where they engage in debauchery and cannibalism ends up, in various humorous things. Meanwhile,
I'm not paying attention to anything you're saying. So when you're done, just let me know.
I'm just like seeing as long as you'll go. I'm gonna stop there.
Okay.
I'm just pissing myself with laughter every now and again. I'll hear a whoa, 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 whoa.
He said it'd be easier if he's holding a lightsaber, so I was creating the effect.
Yeah.
He was also fighting somebody every now and then.
Yeah.
Darkseid likes that.
Which is why there are so many pauses and breaks and and ahs. It's tough. It's tough. You try it. You try giving a breakdown and fighting somebody in a lightsaber battle.
And like I said, no matter what you just heard, it was shorter than it was when we recorded.
I hope you cut out all of the lightsaber noises. Awesome.
Absolutely not. It might only be lightsaber noises. So, really quick around the table. How do we feel about this one?
I love this episode.
I love it too, and I have to confess something. I think the first time I saw it, this was my least favorite episode of the season.
Really?
And I think it was just that
was it the testicles?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was so caught off guard by the whole Eyes Wide Shut thing.
Right.
Like, because there's been some nudity in the show before, like, especially if you watch it on Blu-ray or whatnot.
Which I totally missed. Like, all of the times that I've watched it have been censored or at least radio edited. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I always go back to, like, the breakfast scene with Rusty in the dream when,
oh my God.
Yeah. Just the huge old Wang just wagging behind him.
Right.
Like, so there's been nudity in the show before, but never so much. And I was so caught off guard by all of it. I'm just like, what is this episode? And, like, I actually was starting to, like, judge it a little bit. I'm like, this just feels like it's just like almost fan service. Like, here's a topless Dr. Miss and the Monarch for like an entire conversation. Like, we get it. People like her.
Yeah.
And like, I almost took myself out of the thing, just being like so high up in my own horse. I'm like, I look down upon thee. And it's like,
I stand in judgment of you.
Boobs offend me. And it's like, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, okay, I'm just being a total fucking idiot. Like, the jokes make sense, the episode makes sense, and the more, like, and I've seen it, like, 4 or 5 times, it's one of the funnier episodes of the entire season. And that's where I'm like, I feel like I should just like take a step back, realize like, no, they know what they're doing, and it's just that it caught me off guard.
Yeah.
I just wasn't expecting so much ball washing.
You're right. And I was kind of the same way, to where it's like, it is quite shocking. Like you said, there's been nudity before, but never this amount, never orgy amounts of nudity. Yeah. Full frontal, also behindal things are happening. Also, I do love how my wife kind of chides me for, you know, still watching cartoons. And of course, I love that she walks in on me watching these, I will say, adult cartoons. And walks in at the most awkward moments where there's lots of cartoon nudity. And it happened with this episode and also with one of the first episodes of Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was watching for the first time. And it's like, oh, wait, no, it's not all like this. I'm not just watching porn. Damn it. And so as she sat down this morning when I rewatched this episode, I was like, okay, I paused the episode. And I was like, this episode's going to get weird. There's going to be some cartoon nudity. Just preemptively be prepared. Yeah. So, but it's funny. And she doesn't care.
So, yeah, so we all kind of like this episode. There's things about this episode that I'm not, like, the biggest fan of. Like I said, like, it felt really fan service-y for the girl to be Dr. Miss of the Monarch. That makes sense because
it's all a dream.
It's all a dream, and it's Rusty's dream, and she is, like, the pinnacle for Rusty. Like, the ultimate girl who he's always going to hit on, even though she's always going to turn him down. So, narratively, it makes sense. And I think it was just that first time I watched it that it felt fanservice-y to me. And now...
Which, I mean, it is.
It is to a degree.
Well, but what I'm saying is, like, it is because they created... It's not really a dream. It's the OSI has created a virtual reality version of this world.
Yeah.
And Rusty is the fan.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, well, what's the best thing that he could ever... Like, what does he think that he needs to... get him to do what we needed him to do, which is to stop the development of the teleportation device, which is, okay, well, he needs to get the girl, who's obviously Dr. Mrs. the Monarch, and then obviously be involved in this weird, crazy orgy where they're also serving Orphan.
But we're also, he is the center of attention.
Absolutely.
Everybody wants him. Like, yeah, absolutely. That is very much Rusty's dream.
Yep.
So whereas there is like the slightly cynical, way too critical side of me that's like, well, it's just fan service. Like narratively, I think it totally makes sense, and I'm fine with it. Like it just took a moment for me to kind of get there. Like I had to get over my own like bullshit, essentially.
Right. And me too as well, because it does take you quite off guard, and the transition happens. So I watched it twice, almost back to back, from yesterday and today, and the transition does happen quite chronologically, makes sense of like, okay, he, you know, leaves the OSI office, gets into a car with Brock, and then goes to the event. But then when you watch it again, it's like, no, they leave him in the same room. They strap him to the chair and he just stays in that chair.
Yeah.
And then they just put the VR goggles on him and all of this other stuff. So
and
it's
the
like,
dick pump.
And the dick pump. Obviously the dick pump. And a ginormous dick. Anyways. And it happens like not only just chronological, but like minute to minute. Like it's there's no cuts whatsoever. It just happens, and he just goes into that virtual reality. So when you watch it again, it's like, oh, we're just continuing the same moment right now.
Yeah, and it kind of reminded me of what the fuck is his name? The guy who directed 10 Cloverfield Lane. Dan something. I forget his last name. But either way, he did an episode of Black Mirror, and it kind of reminded me of his episode of Black Mirror, where it's the guy who gets stuck in the video game that turns into, like, the horror house.
Ugh,
yes. It kind of reminded me of that. It's the same sort of thing. He's always in the same place. Like, he never got out of room one.
Right.
And it's like, okay, yeah, I kind of get that. Yep. Like, I'm not sure if that was meant to be, like, an homage in this episode. It could have been its own thing, because it did come out after it. Right. They could have had the exact same idea, which would make sense, because it's not the most original idea. But either way, it reminded me of that in a good way. Like, I enjoyed that aspect of it. And beyond that, I just love the dream. I love just, like, Rusty's head.
Yeah. When he orders a red Moco cooler at the bar, and the bartender knows what the fuck he's talking
about. How any of us didn't catch on that it was a dream right then and there.
I was like, that's weird. But you know what? Of course.
You would happen to know how to make a red Moco cooler. Anything for you. What? I've had a red mocha cooler. No one should drink them.
You're like, whether he knows how to make it or not, he shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do know how to make it. Here's a beer. Asshole.
Here's anything else.
Vodka on the rocks. It's better.
Arsenic.
Yes. So beyond that, like, I really enjoy the whole dream sequence. I like the whole ultimatum thing of, like, you have to choose this or the other. And,
right.
I just think all of that was really cool. Like, I like the whole, like, this is what Rusty views being courted by a secret organization would be like. Like, I liked all of that. And I like the callback to Mr. Brisby. I forget his name, but I like seeing him around.
Yeah.
Is it Mr. Brisby?
Like,
that's his actual
yeah,
name.
Yeah, Roy Brisby.
Roy.
Okay, yeah.
Roy Brisby.
But I liked seeing him come back. Like, that was a fun callback. I liked him in his mask with, like, the girl on his lap wheeling around. Just
yeah.
Like, all of that was just...
stroke face.
Yeah. Gross. Vinegar strokes. For all of my league bros out there. But yeah, no, I thought all of that was a lot of fun. But the flip side to it, and this is kind of going back to a conversation that's kind of ongoing throughout season 7 for us, is Rusty is getting better.
Yeah.
He is growing. He learned how to make a fucking teleporter.
Yep.
We have nothing in our, at least in our collective, like, knowledge from our books and our shows and that stuff, to show that Jonas Venture had gotten him 90% of the way.
Right.
We have no proof that either Jonas Jr. or Jonas Sr. had been working on this teleporter. So from all we know, this could be Rusty's thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, other than help also, from, obviously, Billy Quizboy and...
Well, of course, but I'm saying,
but,
yeah.
Billy, you know, and Pete.
Jonas also had other scientists working for him, too.
Sure.
And so, yeah, it's not... Yeah.
Since Rusty has been involved, like, legitimately involved in Ventech, this is the creation he's come up with.
Yep.
And it is leaps and bounds better than anything else he's had. Like, this is like, oh, he is getting better, both as a dad, as a human being, and as a super scientist. He's still Rusty. We see the dream he has. But he's doing things better. And, like, not only did he make a teleporter, he made a teleporter that works.
Yeah. And, I mean, even at the end of the episode, he does, I mean, obviously it is coerced, but he does make the right decision. There is a point at which in his life, he may have attempted, at least, to get around somehow, right?
I feel like there's a point in his life where he would have, like, well, yeah, I'll sleep with Dr. Miss the Monarch, and then I'll keep my teleporter.
Right.
Yeah.
That would have been the
rest of it. Have his cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say that backwards because it's like, but anyways.
I know what you meant.
Yeah.
But one listener didn't and they're done listening to our show.
Well, the phrase is, have your cake and eat it too, but you eat your cake.
You don't need
and
to explain
it.
They already
too.
Stopped listening. They stopped forever.
But that's how it works.
Bye, Frank. Thanks for listening, bud. So the other thing that I think really is wonderful in this episode has to be everything to do with the Monarch and the heist of the teleporter. We get what's the fuck is his name? Multiple Man, but in this movie.
Copycat.
Or in the show. Copycat, thank you. We get Copycat. We get Presto Changer, voiced by fucking Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill voicing two characters.
He does do two characters in one episode.
Yeah.
Like, Mark Hamill showed up to play, man. And, like, Presto Changer is kind of his Joker voice.
Yeah, I was thinking
a little
that.
Bit more it's... loony.
Yeah.
Presto Changer wins!
Adorable.
I love Presto Changer. With an I Presto Changer into a hand truck.
A man truck.
I love that the his way to stop Brock is to turn into a Stairmaster.
Like, ah, no! So stupid!
And then Brock just stabs him in the head and he's just like, ah!
That's a great moment.
I was watching this yesterday while my son was taking his nap, and Chewie just was trying to work, and she just kept getting stuck. And then as soon as that moment happened, he just stabs him in the face. She was like, this episode's just so good.
It really is.
I love everything of Presto Changer. I love the hand truck. I love his version of Helper. Beep! Doc, dress you up again. Like, yeah, Presto Changer is a character they could have kept forever, and I'd be very happy. Like, he can come back anytime, and I will be happy. Because you can put him in any situation, because presto changeo, and there he is.
Yep.
It's so
good. A man truck.
I also love that the monarch had to have his actual workable wings sent for.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, yeah.
And then when he actually turns up for it, he's like, what's this? It's your wings. It's like, it's a cover story. Your cover story is that I shit myself.
I mean, it's
works.
A fair cover story.
Yeah.
No one would want to ask any more questions afterwards.
Like, ah, I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I love the whole team, though. You know, Doc Comm's back, voiced by someone different, though. Wasn't actually Kate McKinnon this time. Tunnel Vision, Presto Changer, Ramburglar, which is just...
Ramburglar is so good.
I love his death.
Is perfect. His death is... So if you haven't seen the episode and you're just listening to spoil all of it, which is that's on you, dude.
Yeah, it's a silly way to do things.
But the whole teleporter sequence, like when they start actually stealing it, and this is where if you hadn't caught on to the Monarch's failure lead to success thing, this episode's really cements that one in.
Yep. Oh yeah.
He just lands in the room with the teleporter, which is phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, one half of it.
One half of
and
it.
And then
yeah.
at the end of the episode, ends up with both pieces.
Ends up with both pieces. But the whole sequence of he's in the panic room, and he has half the teleporter, and the door opens, and it's Sergeant Hatred who just starts unloading on him, which is like, way to go, Sergeant Hatred. You've been kind of taking a back seat lately, but you still got it in you. Yeah.
You've been learning.
Yeah. And the second he holds up the teleporter, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And the bullet's straight through and right into Ramburglar's face. Like, I'm hit.
And then falls forward, and his head gets chopped off and sent to the panic room where the Monarch is. Now, it's the Monarch, the teleporter, and the Ramburglar's head bouncing around, which then becomes stolen by Copycat.
Yeah.
In a helicopter.
But here's the real question. Chewie brought this up when we were watching it. I never even thought about it. So, the Ramburglar's head just landed on the teleprompter, and then it fucking decapitates him.
Right.
How much time do you have to get everything that you want on that teleporter before it just takes whatever you have?
I think the idea is you stand on it and then activate it, but I think it was just already activated, so it's that sort of thing. Like, once it's activated, just anything that passes on to it becomes teleported.
Interesting.
So I imagine like there had to be like some pullback, like maybe his head went in, he's like, no, and it just took the head.
Maybe. Interesting.
I'm not really sure. I love it as a gag, but it made me just go like, so maybe it wasn't ready for human testing.
Right.
Like, there's a bit of a flaw there.
I was also thinking that maybe like Matt was saying, it's like there's a pressure sensor, so like maybe as his head went through, he released, and then after the release, it's like
that could be,
because we see them activate it on the apple at the beginning.
Not ready for human testing.
They put the apple on, hide behind the thing, and then activate it. So I think once it's been sort of turned on, and like it's almost like the teleport beam is just left open. So it's open, so then, you know, Ramburglar's head goes on it and then gets teleported down. But then that sort of raises the question, the physics question as well, of like, well, it was activated as one way from one side, so why is it the other side is teleporting the other way as well? Because shouldn't it be like a one-way tunnel?
Like I said, not ready for human testing. I do love the way they human test. Like, a whole opening sequence with the teleporter.
Oh,
like, this is the...
God.
It worked! It worked! Take a bite. Take a bite. Well, I want to scan it first and run some tests. I want to check for flies.
Triple check
for flies. When they go through, like, the side of the apples, like, three of them have, like, partial flies in them. It's like,
Well, that reminds me...
cube?
That reminds me of an episode of Red Dwarf. I don't know if you guys have ever actually seen all of Red Dwarf.
I have not. Graham was a fan.
I've seen all of Red Dwarf.
So do you remember the episode with where they get the teleport and it splits things into the best of everything and the worst of everything?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the strawberry when they bite into it, it's full of maggots. That's what I was thinking of.
Yep.
Lovely. But just the moment with the pirate, like, hey, Chairman, I just need your signature on this.
Whoa!
And then immediately throws off.
Bah!
Which, that's what would happen.
That would be an interesting twist on Star Trek if every time they use the transporter in Star Trek, they vomit straight away.
Yeah, there's just like a set of buckets.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Oh, God.
There is a, if you're a fan of the Arrowverse on CW, there is one character, whenever Barry has to transport him somewhere, like super speed, cannot handle it. So like every time like Oliver has to go somewhere, he takes him somewhere and he lands. He's like, well, I'm ready to fight him, the Arrow. And then they take his best friend John Diggle somewhere and they take him somewhere. He's like, get the bucket for him. He's here. So by the end of it, they just expect if Diggle shows up, he's like, oh, he's going to throw up. So yeah, it would make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have even slight motion sickness,
it's got to be so weird.
Yeah, it's got to be awful.
Got to be. Yeah.
Well, you're essentially being deconstructed and reconstructed.
Yeah.
So like one atom out of place, you're gonna feel funky.
Yep.
I just love like Copycat in this episode as well. I think
Toby
Huss is just so good.
He's great. He's awesome. But I hate him. He's so terrible. He's such a bad guy. He's such a dick.
Now, do you think Copycat, and I always forget his fucking name, Andy Warhol, would get along? Or do you think they just get in each other's ways?
Warhammer?
Was that it?
Wes Warhammer.
Okay. I'm never going to remember his name. I've made my peace with that. Do you think they would work well together? Because they're both just, like, very good at being antagonists. Like, very good.
I don't know. They're both...
they're very
different.
Now.
Yeah, they're both different, but they're both kind of alpha. So I'm not sure if they would... I think they'd always be trying to...
Screw the other one over.
Each other, yeah.
Yeah,
I think there'd be...
There'd be a level of one-upmanship as well.
Mutual respect. I'm sorry, what was that, Matt?
There'd be a level of one-upmanship, I think, as well, between them.
Absolutely.
They'd always be, like, you know, trying to best each other.
Yeah. No, I totally see that.
Yeah. But I think there could have been, if they... I mean, they're both dead now, right?
Yeah, well, we're assuming Copycat's dead. I assume Copycat's
Copycat
dead.
Might have survived.
Copycat might have survived.
His original, like, the master, whatever it is, may have been in a different place.
I think Prime was on the couch.
Yeah, but so I do wonder
if
Prime, you were led to believe that Prime was on the couch, but actually he was somewhere else.
I mean, yeah, they could easily do that. So who knows? I mean, that could just be a way to maintain safety. He's just in a bomb, like a bomb shelter somewhere, just sending out his lackeys. That could work.
I still love that line. Well, doesn't that just put a turd in your soup?
The one thing we didn't mention, like during the whole teleporter thing, that I think was just phenomenal, was when Monarch knew to get out of the teleporter or to get out of the panic room, yep. And he just appears next to 21
in that crouched like position as well.
We didn't mention it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like, did he just sit on the teleporter like that?
Oh god. I think we've kind of circled this one. I think we've done everything we possibly can. I think it's time to move into our most Venture Brothers moment. And mine's got to be, is it Tiny Eagle? Is that the guy doing the reconnaissance in the beginning?
Yeah.
Mine has to be him when he sees Brock and like he's done the whole thing. He's like, he's done it. He's at it. He's cracked a teleporter. I need to come back. And then he sees Brock. He's like, I've been spotted. Starting evasive maneuvers. And Brock just pinches him. Squish. Squish. And I love the little splurt of blood.
Oh, man. My favorite moment that can never happen in any other show is when Rusty is running out of the bar, the fake bar, and goes to rinse his mouth out from eating some orphan and gets caught by Dr. Mrs. the Monarch. It's like, oh, I just ate part of a small child and washed it down with penis. She's like, well, whatever you're into. He's like, no, no, no.
I doubt that
line will ever be heard in any other show.
Nope. So you're pretty safe there.
Yeah.
Matt?
See, I've got two a little bit. I can't really decide between them. The first one is I just can't imagine any of the series actually doing this, and it was Hunter's kind of realistic representation of what would actually happen if teleportation were invented. You know, like the economy collapsing because you don't need any cars, planes, you know, the amount of people who'd be out of work if teleportation was actually invented because there would be no requirement for public transportation or anything like that. Like, all those people would be out of work. The economy would actually collapse, really. And I just found that quite interesting that, like, nothing has ever really pointed that out before. And then when it's pointed out, you sort of think, actually, yeah, if teleportation was invented, it would be great because you'd be able to go places instantaneously. But it would also be really shitty for anyone in that situation. Like, airlines would be out of business almost immediately. Because why
that
would
might
you spend...
be a good thing, though.
Why would you spend...
I mean, it sucks for all the people out of their jobs, but, you know, they're not exactly great for the planet.
Yeah, but they're also not the worst. I mean, it's like they're spitting out, what, 2% of the pollution that cars are? And it's like it is still technically public transportation.
Yeah. That's true.
Except for the ones that are private jets. That's a whole
but,
that's
like,
another thing.
Even, like, but what I'm saying is, like, even cars going down, again, terrible for the loss of jobs. Planet sure. will be around a little longer, though.
Yeah.
But we don't know what sort of pollution that comes out of the teleporter.
Yeah,
they're run on orphans, so you know that's why teleporters don't work.
Who knows if it's like the Prestige, like it's just teleporting a new you somewhere, and there's someone just like murdering old you somewhere.
Yep.
So
yep.
That would be very rusty.
Yeah.
Look, it worked, and he's just tweet cloning, so you're just instantly cloned while he's somewhere else. That thing is just like shredding you.
There's a soul of a dead orphan in this thing.
It'd be very. Like, one side is just, like, a human shredder, and the other side's a cloning machine.
Yep.
That...
I think there's a movie like that, actually.
Yeah, Prestige.
Oh.
The second one is literally just the line that Hunter has at the end is, get an early lead, and they think they're masters of the universe.
Yep.
Yep.
I fucking love that line.
God, imagine they got, Fuck, I'm forgetting everybody's name today. St. Cloud and Blade.
Oh, ah. God.
God, he'd have to make the weirdest sex noises.
Or just no noise at all, just because he makes so many weird
just
noises.
Just stares.
Ew. And then then there'll be one little...
And then you have to get one penis.
It's a penis. Penis, it's a penis.
Okay, so that is it for the unicorn episode. Let's do a quick round of plugs and then say goodbye. I'm just going to take care of all of my plugs in one. Check out athpod.com. We have everything related to pop culture there, and we have something for you. If you like our show and you want just a little bit more, one of our other shows I guarantee you will enjoy. I don't know which one it'll be because I don't know you, but you will like one of them. We have plenty.
If you like something... It's for you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Whatever your alley is, we're up it.
Mm-hmm. We're coming up you. Boy.
Too fun.
I'm kind of okay with it, though.
I am not.
Matt, what are you plugging these days?
Well, I'm still working on my Heat article. I've been a lot busier than I've expected, to be fair. But I was talking with the copy editor that we've got for my articles, and she does other stuff as well, but she's very busy as well up until March, so it doesn't look like anything's going to be ready to go out until March anyway. So, but I've written that fucking Doctor Who article.
Oh, wow!
You wrote it!
All right!
Yeah. Yeah.
Great!
It sounds a little lackluster.
Yeah. Mm.
Did you do all of your research?
Just read what I've written when it goes up. I think you'll be happy-ish.
I bet I will.
All right.
Ironically, I put way more effort into it than I was intending on.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because I'm not sure if you listen to Behind the Hype, a.k.a. After the Hype, but we've been plugging the shit out of your Doctor Who article over there.
Oh, yeah. That's what made me just think, right, I'm going to fucking write something now. I will say, like, the last paragraph just says, "Happy Brian."
I mean, I'm never happy, but we'll see.
That's true.
I can come up with another article that you don't want to write that I will just start promoting like crazy. Don't worry, I have plenty. I'm well aware. I think we're kind of meandering here. We're circling a drain and refusing to go in it. So bye.
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 Presto, change your ways.